Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, and various select verses. While Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago when I was a pastor, I had a young lady call me one day and ask if she could come and meet with me. She was about 12 or 13 years old. She had had to drop out of confirmation class because of dealing with a brain tumor. And during the last year of her life, she underwent 7 brain surgeries. And this was a number of months yet before she passed away. But she asked if she could come in and talk to me about something that was troubling her. So her mom brought her in her wheelchair. She was kind of swollen because of the chemotherapy she was taking. I shut the door, I remember, as she came in my office. Her mom left. And I said, "Heidi, how are you doing?" She said, "Okay." And then I said, "Are you having a hard time facing the fact that you're going to die?" And she looked at me and she said, "Oh no, that's no big deal. I want to talk to you about my nurse, because my nurse is pregnant and I want to make sure her baby gets baptized." Her death was not a big deal to her. I remember she often liked to wear a t-shirt from one of our vacation Bible schools that said, "Jesus is the rock on which I stand." I guess so. I guess so in her case. It's challenging. It's got to be challenging for a young person to live with the daily thought of dying in their regular life. We probably don't think about it too often. Maybe sometime if a car comes close to hitting you or something, but how often we really, really think about having to die, or someone in your family, how challenging that must be to live with that as an everyday, probably every hour reality. And as our text reminds us, it is always especially hard when a little child dies. There's just something additionally difficult about that. It's hard for us to understand, why is it that the good shepherd comes into his flock of sheep once in a while, and we know he usually picks the older ones to go first, and maybe then middle-aged people, and once in a while someone maybe college age. But then it's these young ones that really get to us. Why in the world does the good shepherd grab some of those lambs and bring them across the valley of the shadow of death into the green pastures of heaven when they're so young? That really stuns us, and it's a lot of times really hard, and it's very hard for parents and family members to deal with. Sometimes it tragically harms marriages. I remember in seminary them teaching us about pastoral counseling regarding this particular issue, how to deal with people who have lost a little child. It's got to be so hard. And this man Jairus mentioned before us, I'm sure it was very hard for him and his wife and others in the family. It's quite a scene though, isn't it, that Jesus comes into the home filled with these professional mourners that would come to your house and play and sing music and cry and wail so that everybody knew in the community that a death had taken place at this home. Quite often, paid musicians would sit at your door to play. And I always wonder, what sad funeral dirges were they playing on these flutes as Jesus entered the scene here? And then he says this phrase to them that sounds so ridiculous. "She is not dead, but sleeping." And our text says they ridiculed him. What do you think they said to Jesus as he made that comment coming into the house? What do you think they said to pick on him and to ridicule him? Isn't it interesting how human beings look at death? We look at death as this horrible, awful thing that is unstoppable that's just sitting out there in front of us in our future. It's so awful, and it's such a prison. It's such a terrible thing that we don't even want to think about it. We'd rather deny that it's going to happen. We try to put it out of our minds as much as we can. The Greek word here is very interesting. As Jesus comes through the crowd, it's the word anakoreo. It's translated in the New King James, make room. That means, please move. Get out of the way is what Jesus is telling them. Go away. You might say, get off my lawn. Okay? Jesus is telling those who are looking at death in this way to move aside. And then look at how differently, what a contrast to how the Son of God comes and approaches death. God himself, who is above all laws and rules that hem us in. And he operates on a completely different plane when it comes to death. How easy it is for Jesus now to step forward and wake up this young girl's dead body out of death. This thing that seems so paralyzing to us is just a little tiny impediment, a little speck on the floor that he has to pick up and throw away. And he does it in the simplest way. He doesn't even have to come and grab her and throw her up into the sky or something. He just takes her hand, and according to the Gospel of Mark, he speaks two words. Two words. I suppose he could have done it in one, but two words. He says, Talith kuma. Talith kum. Get up. Little girl, get up. And it's that same powerful word of Christ that he puts in your heart through his preaching and in baptism and so on. Luther, to paraphrase him, says this: Christ is here teaching you to look at your death in the right way so that we do not become frightened by it the way an unbeliever does. Think of it as if you were resting for a short moment on a couch. That's how Christ wants you to look at your death. At my home church, in the communion liturgy that we sing frequently when we have the Lord's Supper twice a month, we sing in the common preface, the proper preface, by his death he has destroyed death. And I love that that's kind of the standard preface. It's actually the Easter preface for Easter, but it's the standard kind of default preface that gets used a lot. Because every time we go to church, we're celebrating that. By his death, he has destroyed death. Just to give you a little picture of that, when Jesus himself died on the cross, remember the graves of saints that opened up and they came alive and walked around the city of Jerusalem? Kind of like a tiny little sneak preview of what his death has done for every one of us, giving us that great victory. And so as Christians, we can look at our future coffin as just a liberating slumber. About 20 years ago, down in Georgia, one of the first school shootings took place. We've had them so often now in the last years. But some young man from this high school went into his high school with a shotgun and shot especially one young lady. And she happened to be standing in a little prayer group of Christian kids that had organized themselves before school every day for about 15 minutes and would say prayers together. And he shot one of those girls. At her funeral, her parents, on purpose, picked out a special white coffin and made sure that the paint was something you could write on. And they brought a whole bunch of markers to her funeral, invited her Christian friends to come up and write Bible passages all over her coffin, just to kind of defy death. Christ invites you to live a life of rebellion against your death. And I don't mean that you live foolishly and kind of foolhardily and like having a daredevil attitude or a death wish. I don't mean that at all. But instead that you can look at your death without any fear. As Luther says, if the devil tempts you to be afraid of your death, look at him and say, I have Christ, Satan, even if you should explode on me with all of hell. So live a mini Easter today. And tomorrow, and the next day, every day of your life as a believer in Christ. For to us, to live is gain, and to die is gain. Amen.